Good to see you all. That's lovely. I know some of us are away, but we're a goodly number, so that's super. There's no Sunday school today, so but I think there is a table at the back. Is there a table at the back? Is there stuff on it to do? No stuff on it to do. You've got stuff. That's good. That's right then. Okay, lovely. Yes, notices. Please come to the front and give us some notices.
I've got two thank yous this morning. First of all, thank you so much, whoever set up Welcome BAP. I popped down this morning to see if it had been done. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The other thing was, the majority of you will know I've been hacked this week with my mobile. Just with my emails. So if ever you receive a similar thing and they do not address you by name and there's money involved, ring the person concerned, because apparently 1 year I was stuck in Tehran. Tehran! I'd been at church sort of the day before. I mean, you know, the whole church would have known weeks before I went. And one lady sent £500 out of love. And but thank God she did get it back. But if wherever money, in whatever way, you'll know it's a scam. So just be on your guard, okay. But thank you to all those. I've had 20 phone calls. Are you all right, Jenny, et cetera, et cetera. What can we do for you? And I've had about 14 little messages, many from this church. Are you all right, Jenny, can we help? Appreciate your kindness, but please do be careful. If they do not address you by name and money is involved, it's a scam. Thank you. Thank you, dear.
Thanks, Jenny, for that. Any other notices? The only other notice for us is that do remember that we're having a little garden party next Saturday, 10 o'clock till 12-ish. Just turn up and enjoy a little bit of time with each other, and we'll be celebrating people's birthdays, because of course this year several people are reaching or have reached already momentous birthdays. So it'll be an opportunity to come together and have a cuppa and a bit of cake and sit out. Hopefully the weather will be kind to us, we hope. Sorry? No cuppas today. No. Oh, yes, yes. There's no coffee, and thank you. There's no coffee and tea after the service. Thank you for that, Mark. Okay. Lovely. Let's start with prayer, shall we? Oh, Father God, we are so pleased to come together and spend time with each other and encourage each other and spend time with you. And we look forward to praising your name together and to delving into your word when Jenny comes to speak as well. We just ask you to bless us as we have this time together with you. Amen. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Jill's going to read a psalm of praise for us now.
The psalm is Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endureth forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.
We're going to sing a couple of songs now. And the first one is a camp favourite. The Nevin camps are in... Is it D camp now? So let's pray for good weather for them. And the sun's shining on them. So that's super. And this is one that we sang on camp while we were there in the early part of last week.
Oh,
Song, and if you'd like to take the collection in this one, that would be great.
Thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your abundant provision for us. You give us so much. And please accept this token of our appreciation as we give a little bit back to you. And I pray for those who are blessed by it, and especially the children that we bless with the money that we collect for them. Lord, it's for your glory that we share your love around the world. Amen. Please be seated.
Right, I'm going to do a reading from Luke 24, verses 13 to quite a way down the other page. Emmaus is west of Jerusalem. On the first day of the week, encounter on the road of Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in the last days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all of that prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and disappeared from their sight, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, when our hearts are burning within while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told the rest what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." May the Lord bless this reading.
Good morning. It's time to bring our prayers of praise and thanks before the Lord. So I would ask, as we go into this prayer time, pray in an attitude that you feel most comfortable. And we often from the front, we say we bow our heads in prayer. Some people don't. Some people raise their hands in supplication. Some look up to heaven. We think heaven's above us. But just pray and listen as you feel most comfortable as we go into this prayer time. Okay. So, Father God, we come before you now and bring our prayers of praise and thanks. We praise you as the most high God, creator of heaven and earth, name above all names. We thank you for choosing us to be your representatives on this earth. We thank you that you provide all we need to fulfill that commission. You are Jehovah Jireh, the one who supplies all our needs. You are Jehovah Rapha, the healing God, and Jehovah Shalom, our God of peace. We thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to die, that we could be reconciled to the Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit of God on the earth and are with us at all times, if we just ask. We thank you that you are the faithful ones, just waiting to engage with us in our daily lives. We bring our church family before you now. There are so many needs for healing and restoration. We ask that you would be with each one of those in need. Lord, you know them by name, so we ask that you would bring your healing touch to each one and be to them all that they need at this time. We pray that by the Holy Spirit's prompting, they would draw near to you and enjoy your comforting presence and the reassurance that that can bring. And Father, we bring our nation before you at this time. We have recently seen increased evidence of evil stalking our streets, and we would ask that you would overrule, bring your peace to our streets and wisdom to those that have to deal with these situations in both the short and the long term. And Father, there are many areas of the world that need your touch at this time. We think particularly of the wildfires in the USA. We pray that you'll bring comfort to those that have lost loved ones, homes and businesses as a result of those fires. So Father, we would just ask that you touch our world with your healing love and help us to face up to and deal with the climate emergency that we all face. We pray for wisdom for world leaders to agree on equitable policies that will bring about positive changes to our climate and save this planet that we call home. We would also pray that you would overrule in the Ukrainian conflict and the conflict in Gaza. Soften hearts and bring about a just peace in those lands and also the many other areas of the world suffering conflict at this time. And we bring these prayers to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now we'll have a time of open prayer, so if anyone feels they want to bring prayers before the Lord, now is your time. Just short prayers, one word maybe, just one sentence. Pray as you see fit. It's up to you. Amen. So, Father, we end our prayer time now. I'm sure there are many prayers that we said in people's hearts and the quiets of their own space necessary out loud. We just pray that each of those prayers would be read by you, received by you, and be answered by you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And now we have a second scripture reading, I believe.
I'm reading from Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 8. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honoured by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen.
speak to us in a moment, so I'm just going to pray for her. And also, are the children going to stay where they are? Or, if they want to go to the back, that's fine, or you can just stay there, that's fine. Let's just pray for Jenny. Thank you for Jenny. Thank you for her faithfulness to you, Lord. And I pray that you would just fill her up now, top her up with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that she can have the assurance that you have the words to give her, and that she is speaking the word to us that you want us to hear today. Amen. Thanks, Jenny.
Good morning once again, everyone. My theme this morning is Let No Man Be a Stranger. Now, I'm going to challenge you this morning. Look at the person next to you. Is he or she your friend or even your sweetheart? Yeah. Right. I hope they qualify one way or the other. The other thing is, look around the church. Is there anyone here this morning that you have not yet introduced yourself to? It's surprising how that happens. And if that is so, by the end of this morning, when we complete the service, make sure you go and say, hey, I'm whoever you are. And when we know each other, we become friends. We become related to each other. And in a church, we have that added advantage that we are sons and daughters of the living God. We have the one Father who unites us in his love. Let us pray. Lord, we come now to consider your word together. Your word is spiritual, but Lord, let it also be practical. For as much as we might hold in our minds and our heads, and even in our hearts, unless we show it and use it, and show your love, your compassion, your concern for society, how will people know that you are the one who directs us, who holds us, and above all, who loves us? So help us, Lord, to let no man, no person, be a stranger amongst us, or even in the area in which we live. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to concentrate, first of all, on the first few verses, verses 1 to 3 of Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 3. So it starts off by saying that we should keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters fall out. I had a brother, we did. But the lovely thing about family is you come together again. You get over your difficulties. You work with each other. You reason with each other. Never, ever hold a grudge against a fellow Christian. It hurts you. It doesn't hurt the person that you've got a grudge against because they don't know. But, let it go. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourself were suffering. We must put ourselves alongside the stranger, and we can only do that if we talk with them, get to know them, and even become friends with them. I want to share with you a story I once heard some years ago now. A young couple were running a hostel for up to 10 young men who were getting over certain difficulties. It was connected to a very big organization, but they had this house in the town, and in that house, every person had a small room of their own. And there was a huge lounge where they could meet up if they wished to. They could cook together in the kitchen. But every weekend, two of them were invited back to this couple's personal home, where they were able to meet them more, not in an official capacity, but in the capacity of friendship and of concern and personal love for them. These young men were recovering from alcoholism or drugs, or just their lives had fallen around their ears and they were not coping. And they had a wonderful success in getting people back on their feet, back into work, and having the dignity of having their humanity restored to them. They were out in their town walking together, and they saw an individual, a man in his 40s, they thought, propped up against the wall, but he wasn't propped up in a sitting position. He was semi-sort of lying down, ready almost to fall. They looked at him, and they saw in him an absolute empty face. Total despair was written throughout his whole body, the way he was, the way he looked, the way his clothing was drab and he was dirty, and they thought, right, we must see what's happening here. They went over, and I loved this, the lady sat down beside him in the road, and she spoke with him, and she said, why are you here like this? What's happening? And he just couldn't answer. So that her husband came up and said to him, would you like to come with us? You can come to our home and we will look after you. He was so weak and he was so befuddled with himself. He nodded his head and they lifted him, and each side of him, they took him back to their own home. The husband took him up to the bathroom where he was bathed, and clothes were found to dress him. He wasn't speaking, he was hardly looking, but he did look outwardly a bit better once he'd been bathed and had decent clothing on. They brought him downstairs and they fed him, and he stayed with them all that day, and in the evening he began to talk. He had come from Northern Ireland, apparently, and he'd come to England to find his own way. He had one or two jobs, but somehow could not hold them, and he became more and more uncertain of who he was, of what he was about, of what his future was to be. He was too ashamed to get in touch with his family back home. And this is how gradually he sank back in society and ended up on the street. Well, that night they had a spare room in their own house and he slept in their house. The next morning he got up, had breakfast, he seemed much more alert. And they took him to the home that they actually ran, which was just next door. And there was a space for him there. And after some weeks, they said to him, would you like to find a job? Do you know, he said, that would be good. I'd like to try. So they took him to a local factory and left him for an interview with one of the managers there. And a job was offered to him. They thought, wonderful. He looked quite bright about it. But that young man, or that gentleman, he slept that night again in the hostel, and then they thought he'd gone to the job. Later that day, there was a telephone call from the factory. Is this chappie coming? He hasn't turned up. Well, they were surprised and a little bit amazed that he hadn't turned up. Well, that evening, he didn't turn up to go back into the hostel either, and he just disappeared from their view. Now, when these things happen and you have helped people, and all of a sudden they disappear or wash their hands of you, it can leave you feeling very deflated, very sad of heart. But some 3 weeks later, they had a postcard. My dear friends, I'm just writing to say thank you for your kindness. I am now in a, where the monks are. I want to call it a monkery, but I know it's not. Monastery. It began with M. yes. I'm now in a monastery in Devon, and I am now teamed up with a group of gardeners in that monastery. I have lodgings. I am being paid. I am well. I just want to say thank you. Now, they entertained a stranger who was no angel, right? But I believe that angelic force was present, because even though that young man, or I could call him young, he was in his 40s, he is young compared to me. This person, for some reason, didn't have the courage to come back to start the work. But praise God, he did find a way because of the help of these two people. Any help you give a stranger, however much you feel it's of no consequence, you do not know. And the angels watch over every person. We all have a guardian angel. The moment we are born, we have a guardian angel. And I believe that angelic work took place in that event. But an even more wonderful thing happened many years ago. In our scripture, we looked at Luke's wonderful account of the Emmaus Road. In our churches, there are two subjects that are not spoken about sufficiently. One is the cross of Christ, where our faith begins, and the Holy Spirit, where our faith is sustained, grows, and is used. And when we come to a day where we have communion together, what a wonderful opportunity to share about the cross of Christ. We sang in that lovely song earlier, "Bring us to the foot of Calvary." And that is where we are redeemed. That is where our lives are changed. That is where the suffering of Christ has its purpose. Isn't that wonderful? So here we join these two men who were returning from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about 7 miles. It was a good trek. And as they were going along, their hearts were sad. And they looked down and they were talking together earnestly when a stranger came alongside them. And the stranger said to them, "Why are you so downcast? Why are you so sad? Oh, are you the only person that hasn't heard what's going on in Jerusalem? This Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. We thought he was the one who was come to redeem Israel. He was the one we were waiting for." And Jesus walked alongside, and as a stranger, he spoke to them. And he was a man of knowledge. He knew his scriptures. And he went back into all the prophets of our Old Testament, their Torah. And they went through all the references to the coming of this man, this Messiah. He was going to suffer. He was going to die. He was going to redeem the people of God. Yes, and this is what had happened. Well, as they approached their home, very heavy of heart, very tired physically, the darkness was falling. And they said to this stranger, "Oh, do come and have a meal with us. Stay with us this night. It's too dangerous to go on in the dark." And so the stranger came in and sat with them at table. And I love this. As he was asked to give the thanksgiving for the meal, he took the bread to give God thanks for it. He broke it. And as he broke it, they recognized him for who he was. My goodness. The little rustle of joy that came when that couple received that postcard was one thing. But the abundance of joy that came through the hearts of these two men who knew that Jesus was truly alive. Oh, well, they'd walked to Emmaus with real steps of slowness and weariness. They were filled with energy. I think they ran back to Jerusalem and they found the disciples. I love this. They found the 11 and all the others who were gathered with them, for there were many other disciples who followed Jesus by this time. And it was reckoned there was about 120 people in that room. And they burst in and they said, "It's true, it's true. Jesus is alive. We have seen him. We have eaten with him." Oh, and they told their story. That's why we have it today. But you see, if they had not invited that stranger in, they would never have known until much later, perhaps. But because they were kind and considerate to a stranger, took them into their home, fed and nurtured, were willing to feed and nurture them. So the Lord blessed them by his presence. Not only did they entertain not an angel, but the very Son of God himself. Isn't that wonderful? And I think with Scripture, we can sometimes keep it so black and white in words that we read. But we need to enter into these events and to get something of the joy that so many people receive when Christ reveals himself to them. Shortly we'll be receiving communion together. And in Scripture it says that out of one blood God created men or mankind of all nations. So when we are born by our parents, when we are born into the family of man, out of one blood. And that is why there is no room in this world for racism, no room in this world for hating people because they're different to us. God created us all out of one blood. We are all one people. And it's so important in this present day that this is emphasized by us as Christians. But as we are born into the family of man, so often there is little knowledge of God. And so there is a lot of strife and difficulty in the world. But you know, we are going to celebrate the sacrifice of Jesus. The blood he shed on that cross cleanses us of every sin. I'll never forget the day I was converted and the day I was forgiven. I'll never forget. And when I get down days, I remember that day and my spirit lifts again. The blood of Christ, his sacrifice on Calvary, paid for every sin that each one of us has made, will make, and he forgets. He harbors no grudges, but he forgives us completely. So the blood of Christ washes us clean. But then we need the infilling of his Spirit, the dwelling of Christ within us, around us, everywhere. God is everywhere. And when that happens, my friends, we become children of God, the family of God. And isn't that wonderful that our Father gives to us an insight into what it means to truly love, to truly understand forgiveness, and to be able to practice that because we have experienced it ourselves. In our fellowship, there is a great warmth of love and care. But even so amongst us, there are differences. Let not those differences spoil our relationship. Let us learn from each other. Let us never treat each other as if we were strangers, left apart. And when we leave this church, I do pray that this coming week, you each one will have the joy of meeting a stranger. Let's face it, until you met each other, you were all strangers, weren't you? When you met each other, knew each other, you became friends, many who became friends for life. So let no man be a stranger. Welcome all people in the name of Christ and care for them, whatever their circumstance. For through your care and through your love, you can bring blessings to that person's life, as the couple did who picked up this man off the road. So thank you so much for listening. And now we're going to sing a very beautiful hymn before we have our communion. Broken for me, broken for you.
Thank you. I think it's always very wise to say that this is an open table. Jesus invites members, friends, strangers to come and to receive bread and wine. Some of us have loved and served the Lord for many years and we come naturally to his table.
Yeah, I know.
There may be some amongst us who are very new Christians. And, you know, we just need that bit more confirmation and encouragement in our faith. There are some of us who may have let the Lord down in the past week or so, and we don't quite know where we stand with him. I want to reassure everyone that God never ceases to love us because of his Son. God never ceases to love us because of his Son. So if you are unsure where you stand, come and with a welcome in your heart, receive bread and wine, and as you hear why it was given, how it works, that you will be refreshed, each one of us, in our spirit. The joy of the cross is this, that Christ rose from the dead. He did not stay there. And the lovely thing is that when we come, we remember his death, but we also rejoice in his new life. And so let us come now in prayer as we come upon this table to share together the joy of Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you now humbly, knowing our need of refreshing of our spirit, of forgiveness of our sins that we have committed, even as Christians. But Lord, if we humbly confess our sin, you forgive, you forget, you renew us through the blood of Christ. We thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin and gives us the ability and the right to receive your Holy Spirit, who can only enter your heart that is pure and clean. So Lord, we pray that you will indeed, this morning, refresh our hearts with your joy, with thanksgiving and praise for so great a sacrifice of love. In Jesus' name. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And after he gave thanks to it, he broke it. Let us give thanks for the bread. Our Heavenly Father, we hold in our hands before you now bread which represents your broken body. We ask, Lord, that as we eat this bread together, so we will refresh each one of us and bring us once more before you in repentance and rising from repentance to joy, knowing that your death on Calvary has given us freedom from sin. For this we give you thanks and break this bread. Amen. As you receive the bread, please take it and eat it personally, and we will drink the wine together. In a similar manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup of blessing and he gave God thanks. Let us give God thanks in the wine. Our Heavenly Father, we hold before you the cup of blessing. And we ask that as we drink this wine together, we remember it signifies the blood that was shed for us on Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that as we come and receive your forgiveness, we are washed spotlessly clean by the blood of Christ. And for this joy and this knowledge, We just want to praise your name and ask, Lord, that as we walk with you and you with us, that indeed we will never be a stranger to you or to each other. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So as you receive the wine, please hold it and we will drink together as one. Thank you so much. Bring this wine together with thankful hearts. Amen. Christ has died. Christ is risen. And Christ will come again. Hallelujah. That's lovely. Thank you so very, very much. Our final hymn, and it's a hymn that speaks about us serving a risen Saviour. And I want to read to you in particular the last verse. Because of what Christ has done, who we are in Christ, we must rejoice. And the last verse says, rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find, none other is so loving, so good and kind. So we'll stand and sing this hymn together with thankful hearts as we leave this place and begin a new week with Christ beside us. Thank you.
That was so lovely to hear you sing so enthusiastically. And that sets us out into the world in a good place. So we just ask, Lord, that as we leave this place, we do not leave your love. We draw close to each other even when we are apart because of the Holy Spirit that conjoins us in your great love. So, Lord, we thank you for redeeming us. We thank you for loving us. And we thank you above all for sending Jesus, your Son, to be our Saviour. Send us out into the world and make us good voices for the Lamb of God, that others through us may know of his love and even come to love him too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone.